So after that happened, Jesus shared the Lord's Supper with his friends. We'll be celebrating that in a few minutes. But then he goes out into the garden, and we'll hear what happens in the garden, and David will read that for us. Thank you, David.
From Mark 14. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
Thank you, David. Thanks. Have you ever washed someone's feet? Some of you are nodding. I don't mean washing them as washing them in a bathtub, you know, toddler toes. I wonder, maybe you've washed someone's feet if you're just about to paint their toenails. I've done that several times for people. But washing someone's feet, as we've heard today in our gospel story, I have, and it's a really moving experience. In every church that I've been a minister of, I've tried to get the congregations to have a Maundy Thursday foot washing service. I've tried in most of them and failed in nearly all. I think it's a very powerful story of the servanthood of Jesus, of the character of who Jesus was and what he came to do. Now, you'd think that people would want to remember that, but no. Getting your feet out in public makes people distinctly uncomfortable. Please don't make us do that, Louise. Not my feet. You can have a hand instead. And those who are brave enough to get their manky trotters out in public, to a person, they have washed their feet beforehand, they have clipped their toenails, and they've cleaned out the bits of sock fluff that gather in between your toes. But the prevailing sense is embarrassment, because it's an unfamiliar intimacy. Precisely. That's the point. When Jesus washed Peter's feet, his disciples' feet, Peter was not having any of it. He said, "Oh, no, 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 you're not washing my feet." Because Peter, like us, didn't want to be served in that way. Nor did he want to change places with Jesus. Peter wanted Jesus to be the focus of his uninvolved adoration. He didn't want Jesus to enter his world as a humble servant. He didn't want to let Jesus serve him. But this is the heart of the point, says Jesus, because this entry is the heart of what fellowship with him means. Unless I wash you, he said, you have no share in me. No foot washing, no communion with me, says Jesus. But I understand Peter's problem. I have no problem with serving others, you'll be pleased to know. My vocation is based around that. As some of you in this room well know, I have more of a problem with letting myself be served. I find that really hard, of allowing people to minister to me. And that was Peter's problem. And perhaps that's your problem too. But once Peter understands what's going on, Peter wants Jesus to wash everything, if that's the way to be in communion with him. It's a foretaste of what is to come. It connects us with Christ who serves us to death and back. A model of discipleship based on the servanthood and the humility of Jesus. It was an act of hospitality in the Near East when a guest would enter a house in the home of the wealthy, in the home of wealthy Jews, slaves would loosen the sandal straps of all who came into the house and would wash their feet. So that's what Jesus did. He literally wiped the day's dust off the feet of his friends, which probably were a more unsanitary state than your feet today. I'm looking around. Most of you've got socks on, not everybody. Couple of sandals. That's brave. It's not quite summer yet. But in Jesus' day, streets were obviously accompanied by all kinds of different dirt, animal waste, dust, sand. And Jesus kneels and washes that off his friends' feet. The depths that he stoops to. I wonder if we would do that. Feet are embarrassing enough, but would we kneel and wipe off the animal poo off our friends' feet? Yes, it's meant to be. Ew. That's the point. And then, after communion, the story continues to a garden where Jesus knows exactly what's coming and what's expected of him. And he has a very human wobble. Take this cup away from me, he says. This was always the plan, to die to death and to rise to life so that we could too. And so he said, yes. Not my will, but yours, he said. So today we remember the servant heart of Jesus, the one who kneels, the one who will spread out his arms and welcome the sin of the world. That's real servant-heartedness. You try spreading your arms out like that. It makes you vulnerable and open and accepting. And that's what Jesus was on the cross. He opened himself to the sinfulness of humanity. And if you open your arms that way, you're also inviting. He invites us to come and put our sins on him. That's why today is called Maundy Thursday, for Maundy means command. He commands us to eat and drink. He commands us to love as he loves us. I read this week. The cross is the place where grace and sin collide with a crash. But the wreckage is suffered on the heart of God. The sinner walks away free, free from sin's penalty, free to walk with God, free to live in his heaven for all eternity. And that's what we celebrate at Easter. Let me tell you a story. It's a Scottish story. Workmen were blasting rock from a quarry. One day after they'd attached the fuse and retired to a safe place and given the alarm, they saw a little toddler wandering across the open space where danger threatened. Every passing second meant death was closing in on the child. The workmen shouted warnings and waved their arms to the child, who only looked at them and giggled. No grown man dared run forward, knowing the explosion was a few seconds away. The child most certainly would have been killed had not his mum stepped forward. Taking in the situation, she did what a mother's heart dictates. She didn't run shouting to her son. Instead, she knelt down, smiled, and opened her arms wide, said, "Come." And of course, the child did, running to his mum. Shortly later, the area shook with the force of the explosion, yet the child was safe in his mother's arms. That's what the grace of God and the cross of Christ looks like. With outstretched arms on the cross, Jesus gives a gracious invitation to the world. Come to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So my question to you this Maundy Thursday is, have you done that for yourself? Have you said yes to the offer of love and forgiveness and grace? Will you come to Jesus? Today we remember our servant King and we say,